Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
We're going to open our Bibles. If you have your Bible, your copy of God's Word today, please open it with me today to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're getting a brand new theme this month that we call head games. I know some of you think that's a foreigner concept. Me and Chris Farley. That's all right. Anyway, that's all I get from you is head games. But anyway, Matthew 7, 24, Jesus begins to speak about the power of his word when he says this: "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. And when a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." My friends, our friend Charles Nemeth was here a few months ago. He said this years ago. It hit me. I think of it every time I read that passage. The life you have is the life you build. And the life you build is the life you have. If you build it on sandy soil, if you build it on the world's ways, if you build it on something that has no power, if you build it on anything that is opposed to the word of God, your life will just, it can be flash flooded away in an instant. But the reality is that God wants you to take his word and apply it to your life, and that's what we're going to talk about this month. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to weave in verse 17 for Freedom Sunday. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Holy Spirit is Lord, where the Holy Spirit is in charge, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." Say transformed.
Transformed.
"We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today? Let your word come forth in power and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Head games. This month we're talking about the battle for your mind and the promise of a transformed life. That's the reality. We've been promised a transformed life. I read a brief article the other day. It really hit me. There was a project in Arizona back in the 1990s called Biosphere 2. Biosphere 2. And they built this scientific, it almost looked like the, I don't know if you got that back there, but they almost have, it almost looked like this, like the International Space Station, but on land. There it is right there. Very interesting. In the Biosphere 2 project, scientists locked themselves in there for 2 years to learn about Earth and living systems. They created a number of different mini ecosystems and environments, including in one room was a desert, in one room was a rainforest, another room they built an ocean to simulate the ocean. They had all these different things, and there was an interesting phenomena that they learned from this, very incredible. Trees grew really fast, extra rapidly, inside the biodome, faster inside the biosphere than outside than they'd ever seen. It was this quick growth. But it was interesting because every tree fell over and drooped before reaching maturation or producing fruit. So they researched and they looked and they looked at, we duplicated everything else. Studying the root systems, researchers concluded one crucial missing element: wind. There was no wind. No wind meant no resistance. No resistance meant no strength. Without the stress of wind to strengthen the wood and the roots, the trees grew weak and could not hold up their own weight and never produced fruit. And I thought, man, that's a lot like life. We think we'd be better off, if I just had an easy life, if nothing bad ever happened, everything would be perfect. You'd be falling over and drooping too. The reality is that we think we'd be better off if life were easier and there was no resistance. Ian Simpkins said, resistance doesn't just challenge us, it changes us. In the Word of God, the imagery of trees is often tied to spiritual growth and endurance. Psalm 1:3, that person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Interesting. This man also said, ease is a terrible teacher. Jesus used the wind as a metaphor for the movement of the Holy Spirit. And he said that when the Holy Spirit comes, when the wind blows, yeah, things happen. Trees, you know, different things happen. But the trees, the palm trees that we have on the other side of a storm that are still standing, they may be a little crooked, but they're now stronger than they were before because they've grown, because they had to anchor deeper and stronger and put down a deeper root system because of the winds that were blowing. This month, we're going to talk about transformation in the Christian life. Change. The favorite subject of Christians. Because Christians just love to change. People that love Jesus, they just love to change. They just love when you just rearrange the furniture. They love when you shake things up. No, they don't. Transformation. The dictionary says transformation means a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. In the spiritual sense, this change is more about the shift of the heart and the shift of the mind. It's about how you grow. It's not just growth, it's how you grow. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And when you renew your mind and you're transformed to be more like Jesus and less like the world, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Most people would say today, I want the will of God in my life. I want to do the will of God, and I want God's will. I want God's best in my life. Would you say that today, that you want God's best for your life? Well, the reality is, in order to prove that, you have to be continually under a transformation by renewing your mind in what God has said more than all these other words that are out there, what people are saying. The word transformed, most of you know that the Greek word there is the word metamorpho. Metamorpho, we get the word metamorphosis. It means to change form. It's derived from the Greek meta, means change, and morphe, which means form, change form. It refers to a significant and often abrupt change in the form or structure of something like an animal during its development. It's a biological process commonly seen in insects and amphibians where an organism transforms from one distinct stage to another and becomes an entirely different creature. The Bible says of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, Jesus, he becomes a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We are in the process of becoming completely new. Now think about it. A tadpole, if you'd see a tadpole in the water, he didn't look anything like a frog. You almost can't imagine. He looks more like a fish. But as he goes through metamorphosis, he becomes a completely different creature, a brand new type of species. He goes from a water bug almost to a land animal. He goes from swimming to jumping. He has a tail, then he also has legs, and they're delicious. Have you ever had frog legs before? Yeah, tastes like chicken. So that's where they get it, tastes like chicken. Always makes me a little jumpy, though. Sorry, if there's extra puns today, just blame him. He's my creator. And I don't know if he started the pun thing in our family, but I just know from the time that I remember sitting at the dinner table, they were flying around fast and furious. Did your dad do that too? My papa, my grandfather was a Methodist pastor, and he might have been the original punster, or maybe his father, who knows? This could be a generational blessing that goes way back. I don't know. Anyway, but when he's here, it just pulls on me. I can't help it. Think about a caterpillar. Caterpillar's a worm. Can move very slowly, crawl on the ground, stuck in one place. But a butterfly, what a difference. You would never look at it and go, hey, that caterpillar grew wings. You'd say, that's a butterfly. Completely different creature than he had been. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must become a new creation. And just as a tadpole to a frog changes the way he moves, and a caterpillar crawling on the ground to a butterfly flying through the air changes the way he moves, you're called to change the way you move too. Yes. The way you move through life is different. It's a different way. We like a pinball machine, we bounce off of the stuff that's trying to take us out, and we keep going. We keep moving forward. It's not always easy. There are tragedies like we talked about in Texas. There are things we don't understand, but the reality is we are supposed to become more like Jesus and less thinking like the world. Amen. My point this month is simple. You can change. Now right here is where everybody is like, boy, I hope my husband hears this. Boy, I hope my, some elbows are starting to fly. I hope my wife hears this. I hope so and so. We brought our friends today. Ooh, get them, God, get them. Right? You can change. Not only can you change, you're supposed to change. In fact, the Bible says you're supposed to go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And the problem is we can get caught in a loop sometimes where we keep going around the problem. And a lot of times we're not letting our mindset shift with what God said, with what his promises are, with who he is and his goodness, his grace, his mercy, the power of his name. And we're just coping with, and we're just walking around just reacting like the world does. We just react, we react, we react. No, we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be people that live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. With God's grace, this is not mind over matter. This is not just you white knuckling change. I'm talking about with God's grace, unmerited favor, you can grow closer to the Lord than you've been before. And as you do, you will be transformed. You'll be moved from where you were into where God wants you to be. You'll be changed internally, not just externally, but it'll affect every part of your life. Transformed, you can change. One of the things we say around here too is, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Some people get trapped in a loop of hurt. Well, they get mad at God, or they get mad at someone else, and they won't release it and forgive and move on as we're commanded to do, and they get caught in this spiral where they're blaming instead of growing. And now, instead of being transformed, you're being conformed. You're being conned. Conformed. You're being conned by what the world is saying, by what people will say, by everybody's opinion, by everybody, all your Instagram followers. Boy, don't you love those opinions? Somebody can put something on Facebook and say, isn't the sky blue today? And you got a thousand trolls on there just saying, it's not blue where I am, it's dark. Come on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What I'm saying to hurt people today, I'm not trying to hurt you, we're saying to the hurt people in the room and at home, you can change. You can be healed. Jesus paid a price to heal your broken heart, to heal your insides, and to set you free. Think of it. The spirit man, the moment you're born again, your spirit is completely changed. It's instantaneous. And that's what people love. I receive Jesus and I am forgiven. And I am set free and I'm in a new position in Christ. And I'm instantly set free. But your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your imagination, it's a process of change. Spirit man, instant change. We all want that. But your soul, man, your mind, your mental life, your emotional life, it takes time because it's a process of change. The Word of God says precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It's a process of change. I've said this before, but you don't take your 15-month-old child and set him in the car at the driver's seat, start the car, and tell him, let's pretend you're doing the steering wheel. No, you put them in the back in their own car seat. You give them a little beep, beep, little pretend steering wheel. But over time, listen, you don't give an 8-year-old the car. Why? Not because they're dumb, but because they're not ready for it. My oldest grandson just turned 16. Got his driver's license. Talk about extra prayer. It's crazy. One day you're just, you know, just playing, just hanging out. And then they grow so fast. And now, and now suddenly, this is nothing against Cole. Cole's great, very responsible. But I think the driving age needs to be raised now. 15 was great to get a driver's license back in the day. But it's not the 70s anymore. I know this sounds unfair, but I just have a different perspective now. Oh my gosh. I just want him to be safe. I know he can drive well, but I'm worried about the other 16-year-olds out there. Transformation takes time. And I'll say this to you, it takes work. Transformation is work. The forever change it comes in seed form. But you now have to take the things that God gives you and use these tools. The Bible says this way, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2, I read earlier, it's about are you being conformed to the image of this world? It's about who you're becoming. What form are you changing into? From Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. And in his image and likeness, he created them, male and female, he created them. We're supposed to be becoming more like Jesus, not in some fairy tale type of way, but in reality, in the way we respond instead of react. Life isn't easy. Crazy things happen. But you're supposed to be transformed. Anybody ever seen the Transformers movie? Some of you like the Transformers movies. Well, apparently only 3 people in the front row, but those of you who didn't see the Transformers movie, a nice truck driving down the road, suddenly parts start to move and change until it becomes a mighty war machine. That's you and me. Transformers. That in this life we have a different, there's a different image we're becoming. We're not just bound by our personality. That's where a lot of people want to camp out. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I'm an introvert. Well, that's okay. I didn't find a scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation except for the introverts. I didn't find that one. You know, I'm a little more shy. I don't find the shy exemption. The Word of God is pretty clear that we're all supposed to be growing and moving and transforming. It's a spiritual thing. I love Ephesians 4:23 from the Amplified says this, and be constantly renewed, listen, in the spirit of your mind. See, I think of the mind as being part of the soul, but in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. Look at the wording on that. Be constantly being renewed. The world is constantly pulling at you to pull you down, to pull you backwards, to fill you with doubt, to fill you with fear, to fill you with complacency. But the Word of God is constantly calling us to be transformed, to quit living by our head and start living by our spirit man. And the way you do it is you renew your life in the Word. You develop a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. But look what it says, put on the new nature. That's like, it's like putting on an outfit. It's like saying, okay, God, you've given me a robe of righteousness. Lord, you've given me a cloak of zeal and excitement. You've given me this clothing, this spiritual clothing, this armor. But I have to put it on. Amen. I have to put it on. Excuse me. Understand, you have to wear it like a new outfit. When you put on a new outfit and you go to show somebody that you love, you just go, I got a new outfit on. I don't know how y'all pose. I don't know what it is. Every post on Instagram or Facebook, it's like women took a class and never told us guys. You got to put your hand, you got to put your leg a certain way. Like we just stand there and smile. And every picture up, they're putting their, like one leg has to go in or something, I don't know. And then they got to put their hand on their hip. Now, I know it looks ridiculous for me to do it, but I feel like I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spell. I don't understand, but transformation is putting on, it's like putting on a new outfit. How do you begin the transformation process? We're going to get real practical this month. I'll just touch on it now, but we're going to get there. How do you, I'm talking about transformation. I'm talking about, so how do we do it, Pastor? How do we do it? Well, a caterpillar builds a cocoon. It begins to wrap up in a place where it can be changed. It becomes saturated and creates a new environment. And I want to encourage you, listen, this caterpillar, it curls up into a safe space for miraculous remodeling and changes its very nature and grows beautiful wings. It's no longer a fuzzy worm. Now it's a beautiful, think of a monarch butterfly, how beautiful they are. Jesus often set himself apart for intimate communication with his Father. The word and prayer, hear me. According to the Bible, when you're a believer, the word of God and prayer washes like a shower for the soul. The Bible says we're washed by the water of the word of God. Every time you read the Bible, you're You're showering. You're getting clean. There's something happening. Every time you come to church, you're hearing the word. And if you're really digging in, you're listening. Your soul is being washed. Your mind is being washed. I was thinking about this yesterday when I got my car washed, and they handed me this air freshener. Yeah, air freshener is nice. But how many know some people, they use the word of God like an air freshener, but they never take a shower. You just cover up. Well, if you feel in the front row, just like point at somebody. I don't know. I mean, this is good, but this ain't gonna help. You know what I mean? I mean, you can mask the change, but the change isn't the change when it's masked. You know, I'm glad they gave me this. That's nice. I said thank you, but I still ran my car through the car wash, cleaned the inside, went home and took a shower. See, we look for short. We look for sometimes for our Christian faith to kind of, we just kind of mail it in, don't we? We just kind of go through the motions, and we assume that we're why aren't I growing, God? Well, maybe you're just using the air freshener of a few verses of scripture you memorized when you were 10 years old. But you're not growing. Psalm 119 that says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God will wash your soul. It'll wash your soul. It'll wash away the hurts if you let it. But don't just take the artificial quick way out. It's not just about just covering. It's about washing. What is your attitude toward the word of God? That's the reality. Colossians 3 verse 2. Here's another one. We're almost done. Colossians 3 2. The word says, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. Set your mind. Set your mind. Mindset. What is a mindset? You can set your mind like you set a clock or you set a watch. You can set something. You can set it. The Bible says you can set your mind. Now I know in our home, I've just always been very strict about the last things we're watching or hearing. And there are times I say, you know, and we're late nighters, we're night owls, but I just say, look, okay, the other day we heard the story of the flood and that kind of thing, and saw it on the news, 11 o'clock news or whatever, and I'm like, oh. I said, we need something light. We need something lighter. Just put on something to laugh before we go to sleep. Because I can't, if I go to sleep on that or on some political beef, it tries to churn your mind. See, that's the way the world works. We've got to guard our heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart, out of your spirit, flow all the issues of life, all the boundaries of your life are flowing out of what you carry on the inside of you, what you're thinking about. As a man thinks in his heart, so is that man. As a person thinks, you are the sum total of your thoughts about certain things. The way you think about something, the Bible says that's determining your life. Get a new mindset. Set your mind on things above. That's not just like talking about going to heaven when you die. It's talking about set your mind on what God is up to, what's in his heart, how he loves people, how he cares for people, how he wants you to care for people. Set your mind on the things of God. Next week, we're going to talk more about thoughts and just really get into the nitty-gritty of it. Every human being has between 6,000 and 7,000 thoughts a day. Isn't that amazing? 6,000 to 7,000 thoughts every day. Many are on repeat. Many, it's the same thought over and over. Many are toxic. Many are detrimental. But the good news is through Jesus, you have power over them. Listen, Here's our takeaway for today. God has a part, but you also have a part to play in your own transformation. It's not enough just to be a Christian. It's great to be a Christian. It's great that you ask Jesus in your heart. That's awesome. But that's where a lot of people stop. My friend, that's the beginning. That's not the end. Changing destinations of your eternity is one aspect. But the Bible says that he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to have life. He wants you to enjoy life to the full till it overflows. He loves you. His plan is for you. And he's not trying to hurt you or punish you. He's trying to help you to grow. We need to change and lift our image of God so we see the bigness of our Father and not get caught up in all these little tiny deals. We got to see the greatness of God, the goodness of God. He is good and his mercy endures forever. God has a part. But if you're wanting him to do everything, you're in the wrong place. You have a part to play in your own transformation. Say, I can change. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You can change. And you might be really good right now. And I hope you're a great person. I hope you're a great person even when bad things happen. But the reality is, we've all messed up. We've all blown it. And it's not the last time. Let's be honest about it. We've all had anger. We've all had failure. But it begins in the way we think. Set your mind. Put God first. Trust in him. Let's get rid of these head games and have heart change. Let's pray together. Father, we just praise you today. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. Lord, the promises of your word are yes and amen, and they're for us, not just for other people. They're for us, your kids. Lord, we know that new creation living is a possibility, but we often don't know how to make it happen. Lord, help us today. Holy Spirit, we know that change and helping us change is a lot of what you do. But we say yes today. Change me. Help me to live fully for you. Help me to be transformed so that I'm thinking your thoughts and not defeated thoughts. I'm thinking about your victories instead of all the defeats of the world or of my own life. Thank you, Lord. We put you first, and you promised that everything we have needed will be added to us. In Jesus' name. Just with your head bowed and your eyes closed for a moment, maybe you're here today. Maybe somebody invited you to come for Freedom Sunday. I'm telling you, freedom is here. Freedom is real. This is not a church for perfect people. Maybe that's a couple churches down the street, but we don't have perfect people here. We have people that are flawed but on a journey. People that are imperfect, but people that are in process. And if you're here today, the greatest miracle is not even the healing of a body. The greatest miracle is the healing of a soul, a spirit. That when you respond to the offer of grace and you appropriate that, yes, Lord, I receive that grace. I want to know Jesus in a real way. Whether you're in the room or you're at home, watching online right now, I pray for every person watching. I pray for Ronald today. Ronald's supposed to be watching today. And I pray for your mind, Ronald. I pray healing and wholeness over your mind. God does love you, and his purpose is for you. But you have to receive. The Bible says, to as many as receive Jesus, he gives the power to become sons and daughters of God. If you're here today and you haven't known Jesus, or you're at home right now, just pray with me. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to know you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Change me from the inside out and help me to live for you and your purpose in Jesus' name. If you meant that, if you prayed that prayer, we want to help you to grow. We want to help you to get through this. Listen, there's always stuff going on, but God is always good, and we keep our eyes on Him. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please just text us. We have a little text message for you. Just text us at 94000, and we'll just send you just a little video to help you get started in your walk with God. If you need a Bible, if you prayed with us here today and you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. We have a free Bible for you. Just let one of us know after church. We love you. Hope it's a great, great holiday weekend.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you,